How would you like to attend a conference and hear Rod Rosenblatt, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, Al Schmidt, Suzanne Venker, and Todd Wilkin? You're invited to the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
As Christians, my family and I remember the incredible sacrifice Jesus made for each and every one of us, how he took on the sins of the world and extended the gift of salvation. And we recommit ourselves to following his example here on earth.
The problem here is that who cares what his opinion is? Our opinions do not rise to the level of Christian doctrine.
Satan has always been a used car salesman. He'll always want to sell you something that cannot happen and that will not work.
Hi, this is Eric, and I'm a steelworker from Pittsburgh, PA. With some noise reduction headphones and the new iPhone app, I listen to Issues Etc. all day long.
It is amazing that this story continues to make headlines. The story is more than 2,000 years old. The resurrection of Jesus, and yet if you were looking at the papers both this weekend and in the days that follow, there's coverage of Easter, especially the Christian celebration of Easter. And when you've got 2 billion Christians in the world plus who are celebrating this resurrection of Jesus in some form or another, it's bound to make the news. How does the media do in covering the annual celebration of Christ's resurrection by Christians, the celebration of Easter? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 3rd of April. Bobby Ross Jr. of GetReligion.org will be our guest for the first few minutes. We'll talk about media coverage of Easter and gay students at Wheaton College, so-called Harvard of Evangelicals. A little bit later, we're going to review the Easter sermon that was heard by President Obama and his family when they attended Easter Sunday service at St. John's. It's made a lot of headlines because of some of the things the preacher had to say there. We're going to listen to the entire sermon and review it in the first hour of Issues Etc. In hour two, Dr. Alvin Schmidt joins us for part one of a four-part series on the parallels between Joseph Smith and Muhammad. And then Dr. Joel Heck will join us for part six of our seven-part series on creation. Today we're going to talk about literalism and the creation account. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @IssuesETC. Bobby Ross Jr. is an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications, from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Oh, thanks for having me.
We're going to compare and contrast Easter coverage or coverage of Easter celebration here, good and bad. But let's start with the bad, the New York Times. What did they do? I know they've issued a correction, but what was the initial coverage like?
Well, they had a story about Pope Francis's first Easter Sunday message, and they kind of got a little confused about what Easter is, amazingly enough, and actually reported that Easter is the celebration of the resurrection into heaven of Jesus, just totally flubbed what Easter's all about.
How do you get that wrong?
that I guess that's the question of the day. My colleague Molly, who actually did the Get Religion post on this, you know, she described it, you know, the correction as a doozy, and I guess I would have to agree with her characterization of that. I don't know how you, number one, how someone can be a journalist and work for a paper like the New York Times, number one, and not know what Easter is, and number two, be the one writing the Pope Francis Easter message story and not know that. To me, it's unfathomable.
Now, that's the bad, and of course, there's probably more that we could discuss, but you found better Easter coverage. Give us a couple examples.
Sure, yeah. I one of the things I like to do on holidays like Easter and Christmas is kind of scan some of the front pages of the various regional newspapers, because, you know, in a lot of papers, that, you know, there's the expectation that the religion reporter or somebody's going to write a pretty nice enterprise story on that day, and that was the case this year. There were a lot of good angles on Easter. A couple of them, Tim Townsend, who's the God Beat writer for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, had a nice story about a parish's ministry to the poor and kind of tying that into some of the things that Pope Francis has said about his, you know, wanting to be, I think what he said is, you know, wanting to be more caring toward the poor and keep them more in mind. And he had a great page one story that talked about this ministry. There was another story, I think the Charlotte Observer kind of used Easter as a peg to do a story about a I think it was a Presbyterian pastor's husband who was, you know, near death and needing a liver transplant, and kind of go, you know, telling that emotional story of how he was able to have kind of his own rebirth, kind of symbolically like Christ being resurrected.
What other, how would you characterize this regional coverage of Easter? Is it mostly human interest, that is, focusing in on individuals' celebration or observations of Easter?
Yeah, I think it tends to be that way. It tends to be, you know, kind of, you know, given that Easter is, most Christians see it as a time of hope and Jesus kind of bringing new life, that they look for stories of people who of faith who've maybe gone through some of their own traumatic situations and have overcome them and are being reborn or having their faith revived. One of the stories we linked to was the Chicago Tribune talking to a priest who had been kind of seen his faith resurrected in recent times. You know, you had the Des Moines Register did a story about a family who had, you know, another one of those stories where the family, you know, had a situation with a baby and it kind of rebounded from that. You know, so, you know, there are those kind of stories. And there, you know, other papers did stories, you know, like the Baltimore Sun had a story about the rebuilding of a cathedral, I think is what they were talking about, that it had some issues. So, you know, those kind of things where you've gone through, maybe come out of a bad situation into a much better situation.
Another subject I want to discuss with you actually has to do with a former colleague of yours at Get Religion, former guest on this program. Actually, she, I wouldn't call her former guest, but Sarah Pulliam Bailey, writing about her alma mater, I believe, and the issue of gay students at Wheaton College. What did Sarah write? Where did you read it?
I read it on the homepage of CNN. She's moving up in the world, I guess. But she, you know, she did a nice, real in-depth, probably 2,800-word story just about the shifting attitudes toward gay students at evangelical colleges, and as you mentioned, focused on Wheaton, which is her alma mater.
What is the story there? What story did she tell?
Well, she basically, I guess, kind of the angle is the fact that, I guess, until recent times, it was just pretty much accepted that on Christian college campuses that same-sex relationships and homosexuality would be frowned upon, and that it would be seen as something contrary to the Bible. And I guess that what they're seeing now is, you know, students, more students are willing to come out, and more students, particularly younger students, willing to look at the issue of whether or not the Bible really does speak against homosexuality and same-sex relationships. And basically, I guess her story's kind of taking what's happening in society in general and saying, in being more specific to how this is impacting Christian colleges and the students on those campuses, and how the officials there, you know, in an academic environment where generally you're asking people to be open-minded and look at a variety of positions and possibilities, how that's playing out as far as this one particular issue.
So, do you have any gentle criticism for her CNN piece?
Well, I thought it took too long to get to an official speaking from Wheaton to kind of give their perspective. It seemed like the story leaned pretty heavily on the rebel rouser, so to speak, you know, until we got maybe 900 words into that 2,800-word story, you know. But at that point, she did quote college officials and then did give them quite a bit of space to give some nuanced positions and to really speak to where they're at and how they see the issue. So, I mean, if you read the whole 2,800 words, it's a fair story. I guess my concern was if you read about the first 500 words and then move on to something else, you never get the perspective of the other side.
And I take it that CNN's Belief blog editor has responded a little bit. What's the nutshell there?
Well, I had one the other question I had raised was the fact that CNN, you know, kind of at the bio at the bottom of, you know, said Sarah Pulliam Bailey is managing editor of Odyssey Networks, which is her current employment. I kind of wondered why they hadn't bothered to mention her connection to Wheaton, because obviously she was real tied into the college and knew its history, and I just wondered whether or not that was relevant for them to include in the bio. And he did respond and say that, you know, that was something that he gave considerable thought, but in the end decided not to add it to the editor's note.
With only a minute here, Bobby, how is it that a story like Sarah's is a good example of kind of the objective coverage of what is a pretty controversial subject in the religion beat? About a minute.
Well, I think the thing that makes it so good, you know, she's obviously a great journalist who knows how to tell a story, and she quotes a lot of diverse voices. She provides relevant context and history. She has survey data to kind of back up some of the assertions that the story's making. And then, you know, there's nuance there. There's the recognition that it's not just black and white, that people can be at various points on the continuum on this issue and have really nuanced positions that aren't so easy to explain, and she took the space to try to explain it as well as possible.
Bobby Rosch Jr. is an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications, from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
When we come back, that sermon that you've read so much about, that President Obama and his family heard on Easter Sunday morning, you've heard a few snippets of it about the religious right, some rather controversial things said there. We're going to review the entire sermon, a little sermon review of the sermon preached Easter Sunday at St. John's Episcopal Church in Washington, D.C. The president and his family were in attendance. Stay tuned.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. Issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shop.logia.org. Shop.logia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shop.logia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shop.logia.org.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the six chief parts and the seven liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.